Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Blaine Grayboys, the CEO of skill game pioneer GameCo, on the next steps for his innovative company. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. The rise of skill games in the casino industry has been accelerating. As the second and third generations of the games hit the floor, research has shown that they are doing exactly what was expected, increased play from younger customers. Blaine Grayboys is the CEO of GameCo, one of the leading skill game companies. He explains the challenges that he has overcome in placing the games on casino floors, the reluctance of slot executives to experiment, and the reaction of players. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October of last year. Blaine Grayboys, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We did this last year for the first time, and I'm glad we could get together again.
Thanks, Roger. So glad to contribute to your podcast.
So last year, you were the new kid on the block. You know, you had a great product that people hadn't seen yet. Well, now you're the grizzled veteran. You've been out there for a year.
It's like dog years.
Exactly. It does. I mean, it must seem that way to you. It must seem 1,000 years ago since just last year, because you've done so much with your company. Just give us a couple of highlights of what's happened within the past year.
It really has been an amazing year. So G2E was October last year. At that point, we had one game, Danger Arena. A month later, we launched it, and we were the first company to be approved for skill-based gaming in North America and brought our video game gambling machines to Atlantic City.
Right.
It's now a year later. We're live in a handful of jurisdictions and about 10 casinos, about 60 VGMs, video game gambling machines on the floor, about 250 by the end of the year. We're showing new games here at G2E. We're showing new hardware. We're showing new platform features for our VGMs. And so it's been a tremendous year. And I would say one of the most interesting things is that the conversation is changing. I think that there's more of an acceptance now around video games in the casino, esports in particular, skill-based gaming in general. And so we're really proud to be the leader in the space of advancing that conversation.
Sure. And a lot has happened in that area this year. You know, your competitors come into Vegas and in some other jurisdictions as well with different kind of games than you have. You know, so I think that's interesting that there's a real differentiation between the two larger companies. You know, of course, some of the traditional manufacturers are coming out with some skill-based games. How do you feel now that there's more competition out there for you?
We're so glad to see more manufacturers in the space. Mm-hmm. It validates the business thesis and opportunity, but really what it does is grow the market. We speak to so many operators that are interested in creating dedicated areas to appeal to video game enthusiasts, a younger, more tech-savvy audience, and generally their number one challenge in doing it is there just isn't enough product to fill the space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're really excited to see other manufacturers. You look on the slot floor, there are certainly a handful of majors, but there's dozens, probably 100 smaller slot manufacturers. Right. There's no reason that there can't be many people in the skill-based space, and it's just going to grow the industry.
Right. Okay. So one of your challenges is that, you know, you're not traditional slot machines, and sometimes that's a bit difficult to get through the head of a slot director or even a president of a property. You know, slot machines are graded on how much money they make, obviously, and how much time on device and how many spins per minute kind of thing. That's a little different in your world. How do you get that across to them that this isn't a slot machine, but it is another revenue-producing item?
So I always say we're standing on the shoulders of giants. I mean, slot machines, as you say, they are amazing, optimized products.
Right.
But they also appeal to an audience that continues to age and isn't necessarily being refreshed by a younger audience.
Right.
And it's been proven that the win per unit on slot machines is essentially shared across all of the machines.
Right.
So bringing in another machine that still does the house average or better – doesn't bring new players and new money to the casino. What we have found and that we've been able to prove is that we are bringing in net new casino gamers to the casino and real incremental revenue. That's an opportunity for our industry to move out of the flat growth period that we've been in and move into a high growth period. One of the other things that we've done this year is we've started doing a lot of research reports because I'm new to the industry and I want to understand it more. One of the most interesting that we did with an analyst from one of the big banks was around lifetime value.
Sure.
So I come from social and mobile games where the entire business is based on cost per acquisition being lower than lifetime value.
Right.
Based on our research, the lifetime value of a net new casino gamer is $35,000 to $40,000. That's a huge value proposition for casinos. One of the other things that we find is that casino patrons are very loyal.
Right.
Once they sign up for your loyalty program and they're carded in your system, they're gaining points and perks for it, they're likely not going to leave. So the opportunity now for casinos to acquire these net new casino gamers into their database and build a lifelong relationship with them is incredibly meaningful.
Right.
So it's immediate new incremental revenue. It's new revenue off the casino floor with food and beverage, heads and beds at the hotel, entertainment in the nightclub, but a huge lifetime opportunity to acquire these customers.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, obviously another appeal for your type of games is we're touching the millennial generation. Now, give me some of the demographics that you've seen so far. I know it's not all millennials. You do have a good amount of my generation, baby boomers, playing it.
Absolutely. So a lot for game code depends on the game. We make a library of games from what are called core video games that typically appeal to a younger male audience. Mid-core games like sports and racing that have a very general, broad appeal, and casual games that typically appeal to an older female demographic. And we see very much that on the casino floor. So the average gamer is 35 years old. The average casual gamer is a 42 or 43-year-old woman. So on our more core-oriented games, we see typically the average player is a 35-year-old male. On our casual games, we see typically that the player is a 45 or 50-year-old female. However, across all of our games, 60% of players are spread fairly evenly between 25 and 54. So all of that is much younger than your typical slot audience and speaks to this opportunity of incremental revenue at the casino.
And attracting the beginning of the millennial generation.
Absolutely. We see definitely 21-plus playing the games. And we also see Gen X and baby boomers. In fact, a year ago, our very first customers, the first people ever to play a skill-based game in North America, were a Vietnam veteran and his wife. He loves playing Call of Duty at home. He saw Danger Arena in the casino, started playing, played all weekend, had a great time. So video games have been part of the culture for the last 20-plus years. We've grown up, and we're now in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and we still love video games.
Sure, no question. Tell us how you incorporate esports into your program.
Well, we're a very unique company in the manufacturing space. We also own and operate an esports production company called The Gamer Agency. The Gamer Agency is based in New York, and we work with brands and venues on persistent esports programs. So not one-off events, but venues and operations that operate on a 24/7, 365 basis. That's perfect for casinos. We're consulting with a number of casinos on their esports spaces and activations and programs. We're doing a few events that we'll be announcing shortly. And we're also now incorporating that into our VGMs. So at G2E this year, we're showing our multiplayer challenge mode. That adds a multiplayer feature to all of our single-player games. It'll launch in early 2018, and it'll support 2 to 8 players. You walk up, the first player makes a bet, additional players ante in and join. You compete head-to-head, the winner takes the pot, and the house takes a rake. Eventually, we'll support up to 32 and 64-player tournaments, so we'll be able to have the same bracketed-style competitions on the casino floor that are really the centerpiece of esports events.
So how would you promote those tournaments? Through social media kind of thing?
Typically through social media and influencers, and a lot will also be promoted by the games themselves. Earlier this year, we announced a partnership with Namco Bandai to bring their Soul Calibur game to casinos.
Okay.
It's one of the greatest fighting games of all time. Mm-hmm. It also happens to be my favorite game of all time, so it's really cool for me. So with our multiplayer challenge mode, you'll be able to come to the casino, play and compete in the same game that you play on your Xbox at home, but now do it in a regulated, licensed casino environment, but also with that VIP experience that only casinos can deliver.
You also, I have signed a deal with Steve Aoki to do a machine, and that's on the floor upstairs too, I understand. So
we're incredibly proud of our partnership with Steve Aoki. Steve Aoki's Neon Dream is an infinite runner game.
Okay.
So you're flying a spaceship through an infinite track in a sort of transcendental space.
Right.
You're listening to music from Steve's Dimmock label. And Steve's an authentic gamer. He grew up playing video games too. He's a resident here in Las Vegas. He's a co-owner of Team Rogue, one of the top esports teams. So it's so authentic to the entertainment audience. He does residencies here at MGM and Caesars. People love his music around the world. He's involved in the esports space. He's a gamer himself. The music is perfect for our machines. He was very involved in the game design and how the games came together. And we think it's going to be a really popular game when it launches next month. We'll launch in Atlantic City at Borgata.
Okay.
Steve does a residency there in November, so we'll be able to do some great marketing to attract this audience to the casino floor.
Great, great. That's an exciting development. You know, we see a lot of the themed machines, the machines that are identified with a person or a show, and this is skews a lot younger, of course. So I imagine this is going to work for the millennial generation.
Absolutely. At Gameco, we're very thoughtful on licensing. We're a small company. We can't pay the amounts that the larger companies do, but we're also not necessarily interested in those brands because, as you mentioned, they do skew older for the slot audience. So we're very much looking for brands in the entertainment space. We're looking for social media stars on Instagram and YouTube, and we'll be continuing to announce a number of new partnerships. We're also very focused in the video game space, so we want to bring in games that you play on your Xbox and PC, but you're now playing those in the casino, and you'll continue to see more of those from Gameco over the next year.
You mentioned a word that I think is important that isn't always considered in the slot world, which is authentic. As you said, you know, with Steve, you know, it's very authentic because he was involved in it, and I'm sure that's the same way with the video games that you emulate on your machines, that they have to be, you know, almost exactly the way you would play them at home in the casino.
Absolutely. In esports, the word you hear the most is authentic,
right.
Because it's a community. And we're very invested in our community.
Sure.
So as an example, with Bandai Namco, we are very collaborative, working with the team in Japan. The team in New York that builds our platform, we communicate with them on a regular basis around the game design, how it's going to work, how the characters are represented, how the gambling is implemented, how it'll work with our multiplayer challenge mode, and how you can bring these experiences that you're playing at home into the casino in a really meaningful and authentic way.
Right.
And we do that across our full portfolio. One of the things that's really unique about Gameco is we don't make the games.
Right.
We are a platform company like Xbox or the App Store. We focus on building platform features that then are applied to all of our games. Mm-hmm. So we're really focused on the user interface, the casino interaction and reporting, the licensing and compliance of making sure that the games are fair and secure, and then working with the game developers to inspire and support their creativity.
Yep.
I've been making video games for about 20 years, and I always like to say, I want to spend every dollar and every minute on my game.
Mm-hmm.
And at Gameco, we allow the developers to do that. The other thing that I really love is that the developers on our platform come up with ideas we never would have considered.
Okay.
And we're able to give them feedback that we're seeing in the casino and from our patrons, and they're then able to implement it into their games with their own creative spin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. After you installed your initial machines at some of the Susan properties in Atlantic City, they were removed. I know you're going back in there now. I know I've spoken with Melissa at Caesars, and she said you know she's committed to skill games and your company. So that was a slight bump in the road. How did that happen, and how did you resolve that?
Sure. So as you probably saw, we had an announcement last week on our multi-year deal with Caesars.
Right.
Some of those same machines are operating now at Harris Cherokee in North Carolina. They'll be going into California and Arizona and other properties across the country as we expand our footprint. I'm very open in sharing, this is so new.
Right.
Slot machines are 120 years old. They're perfectly optimized. We were the first company to do this. Danger Arena is what we call a Gen Zero game.
Right.
It was the first game
absolutely
ever to do this.
Right.
We learned so much from having that game on the floor. We learned about optimally deploying, right sizing, placement on the floor, marketing, communication, how the games are being received, and we've already implemented that in our new games.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, we decided together with Caesars to move the games to other properties, and we're continuing to roll that out. But really, it's about a learning and an iterative improvement process. We saw a 300% performance improvement from our first game to our second game, 180% performance improvement from our second game to our third game. At G2E now, we're showing what we call our Gen 2 games. These feature all of the learnings from the last year. They now feature a standalone progressive system on each game. So we're now starting to work on our Gen 3 and Gen 4 games. They're going to have incredibly cool features. And earlier you mentioned, I think, one of the most important considerations, which is frequency of bet.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of data from our machines, and I would say now we're seeing the same level of occupancy as slot machines.
Okay.
We're actually seeing higher wager sizes, depending on the game and the market, $4 to $7 average wager, which
mm-hmm.
is great.
Right.
But most of our games are 45 to 60 seconds.
Right.
We're working on features in our Gen 3 and Gen 4 games
mm-hmm.
that will actually exceed the pace of betting that you see in most slot machines. So we're really working hard to continue to iterate and learn. What I like to say is that what I like to share with everybody is that we don't know everything, but we are figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to players, we're listening to casinos, we're listening to regulators. We're also very involved with the responsible gaming community. This
right.
is so new in the
sure.
industry. And from each of these constituents, we bring it back into the studio, we discuss it together, we prototype, we bring games to gamers right in the casino to get their feedback. We staff brand ambassadors at the game. When people say, well, I have good and bad news, I always say, well, I'd like to hear the bad news first.
Right.
We want to hear what we're doing wrong so that we can very quickly make improvements. And I think it's a great example of that. It's less than a year later. We're bringing out our third version of our games onto casino floors. They continue to perform better. We're moving at a pace that just generally isn't seen in the casino industry.
Sure. Right.
And by continuing to work this process, at some point in the next 6 months or a year, we are going to figure out this magic mix of how to bring video games to the casino floor in a way that's optimized for the casino, the patron, and the rest of the community.
Okay. Would you prefer to see your games in an area that kind of like the Level Up they're experimenting with at MGM, where it's, the area itself is targeted at a younger demographic?
So we definitely would, and the theme of our booth this year is Casino of the Future Now.
Okay.
And the inside of the booth shows graphics of what that might be like and how that might feel. Interestingly, when I started GameCo, operators said two things. They said, it'll take you 10 years.
Right.
It actually took us 1 year.
Right.
So there's a pace of innovation that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, by the time you have the products on the floor, we'll all have these dedicated spaces.
Right.
There are very few, if any, of them now.
Right.
So we're actively working with casinos to design those spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's really interesting is because of our work in esports, where we build and operate venues for gamers,
right.
and also the data that we see on the floor, what I often hear is, do you want to have an area for skill-based games?
Right.
And my answer to that is no.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a space that is designed differently, different music, maybe different F&B,
mm-hmm.
but I can tell you it definitely should have poker, blackjack, roulette, It should have branded slots, particularly those from Aristocrat. We see that there's a high level of balance between our games. Mm-hmm. Should definitely have other skill-based games. And it should have other attractions like virtual reality and other experiences. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for more manufacturers. We're excited to see them coming online. But there's an ability now to design and operate the casino of the future.
Okay. Tell me, you know, there's a lot of talk about handheld devices, either personal handheld devices or devices that are supplied by the casino. Are your games able to do that?
So currently we're not focused on handheld devices. We're very focused on providing what we call plug-and-play experience for the casino.
Okay.
We want to help them implement these products quickly. Mm-hmm. We're also a small, scrappy startup, so we put our money into the game so that we have the best experience on the floor. As the rest of the industry brings on things like cashless payments and integrated devices, we will absolutely pick them up. And because of our platform approach, it's actually something that's very easy for us to implement. Mm-hmm. Because we can build out a platform feature, have it approved by test labs like GLI and BMM, and roll it out very widely across all of our games and all of our jurisdictions.
Okay, great. What are you looking forward to in the next year? When we come back next year and talk about that, what do you hope to accomplish by that time?
Well, I would say continuing to roll out and innovate. One of the things I'm really proud of this year at G2E, last year we were here and we were showing our games to casinos and they said, I'd really love to have a multi-game bar top.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, we're showing our multi-game bar top and we'll be rolling them out. Mm-hmm. So as we're here, we're continuing to see feedback and we're continuing to operate, include that in our rollout. So next year, I'd love to see 20 or more games in our game library. I'd love to be live in another 10 or 15 jurisdictions.
Right.
I'd love to have expanded internationally. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have bring Soul Calibur to the casino and some other AAA games. And I'd love to see a few new platform features rolled out, like our multiplayer challenge mode.
Okay, great. Well, Blaine, the progress you've made in the last year has been astounding, I think. As you said, these things usually take multiple years, and you've done it in 1 year. So congratulations on that. And I'm going to drop by the booth to check out this Steve Aoki machine. I don't know his music, but hopefully I'll like it. So.
I think you'll love the game and love his music. Thanks for having me, Roger. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.